Salutations! It's so good to see so many of you, the aristocracy of Babylon, here with me today. You are the best that Babylon has to offer. I am the Magus Balthazar, and from early childhood I have studied and become an expert in many fields of study, including philosophy, theology, demonology, astrology, and diplomacy. Astrology is my specialty. Many, many days I would spend the cold, cold evening watching the stars in their silent dance across the sky. It was utterly beautiful. As the stars moved, we magi would interpret the signs and understand what they mean and foretold of the future before us. One night, I was watching Jupiter, the king planet, go through its dance across the sky. Jupiter is a wandering planet. Its motion is always changing, always different. And so as I watched the king planet make its dance across the sky, I watched him pass Regulus, the king star. And then something very interesting happened. As Jupiter passed by Regulus, it stopped, and then it looped back around and converged with Regulus. And then it continued on its way. I had never seen anything. The king planet and the king star converging. And then it happened again. Jupiter was going by Regulus, stopped, looped back around, and converged with Regulus. And then it happened again, a third time on another night. All of us magi did not know how to interpret this sign. What did it mean? We began poring through scriptures and philosophies and holy books. Finally, Caspar, one of the other magi, he found the answer. As we pored over the scriptures of all different cultures and all different races, he found the answer in the Jewish scriptures given to us by their prophet Daniel many years ago. And in there we saw prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of a coming Messiah who would be born King of the Jews. But not only King of the Jews, one day he would reign over all nations. He would be the Messiah of the whole world. And so we watched the night sky. And Caspar was convinced that the convergence of Jupiter and Regulus was the announcement of his conception. And then, 9 months later, as we watched the night sky, we saw Jupiter make its march across the sky, and then it converged with Venus, the mother of all stars. It was such a convergence. No one had ever seen such a bright star in all of the history before or since. It lit up the night sky. I could see the features of my fellow magi from the light of the star itself. It was incredible. And then Melchior cried out, "The king is born!" And we knew that this Messiah had been born. It was late at night, but we didn't wait. We went and woke up our rulers and asked them for permission to go out and seek and find this newborn king. How else do you honor the Messiah? It took us time to get all of the correct permissions and to gather supplies and to gather men. And after almost an entire year, we set out with 40 men. It was myself, Caspar, Melchior, 9 other magi, and the rest were soldiers to protect us. We set out with camels and horses and a large treasure chest that we had filled with items that could supply and finance our journey there and back again. And it had some good gifts for this king when we found him. How else would you honor the Messiah of the whole world. It was a long journey, hundreds of miles. We followed that star and it led us westward, always westward, westward leading. It continually, night after night, would converge and light up the sky. It took us 9 months. And as we came into Judea, we saw Jerusalem from afar. And of course, this Christ child was born in Jerusalem. Of course, he must have been born in Jerusalem. It was the capital place of the Jews. And of course, he must have surely been born to aristocracy or royalty. They were probably still celebrating the birth of this king. Why wouldn't they? It was morning when we approached Jerusalem outside the gates and came in with our company, 40 strong. And as we came in, the first man I saw, I said, "Sir, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have followed his star here." And the man said, "Herod's our king." Wandered off. Melchior went to the temple, a good place to ask, and he asked a Roman guard. He said, "Sir, we have followed the star. We've seen the convergence in the sky of the announcement of the Messiah who will reign over the whole earth. Where is this king?" And the Roman guard said, "Only Caesar's king." And then Melchior, he found this woman. She looked like a member of the aristocracy, well-dressed, carried herself with regal grace. And he asked her, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" And then she got scared. She said, "We have no king, only Herod. There will never be another king of the Jews." And she ran off scared and trembling. How odd. How infuriating. The very sky declared the birth of this king and no one knew anything about him. Were they blind? And then just before evening set in, as we continued to ask and ask and ask, a group of palace guards came to us, Jewish men, I believe. And as they approached us, our soldiers came to gather around us, but Melchior told them to be at ease. The palace guard said to us, "King Herod has demanded that you magi and only you magi come to his palace and talk to him." And Caspar, forgetting about his diplomacy, said, "Well, that's not going to happen. We're taking our soldiers with us." And the guard said, "No. The king has demanded you and only you." And Caspar, of course, said, "Well, why not? If the king isn't afraid of us, why shouldn't we bring our soldiers to protect us?" And then I don't remember which soldier it was, but one of them said, "Well, that's because King Herod is afraid that us mighty Easterners are to come and destroy his lands and take over his throne." And the men all started laughing. "Be still," I said. "What does the wise King Herod want from us?" And the guard said, "He has information about this Messiah king that you've been asking about." And because he assured us of our safety, I told him, "Us 12 magi will go. The soldiers will stay outside the city." And so as night set in, we walked through Jerusalem into the palace of Herod. It was incredible. White marble stone, fortified with protections and safety measures. It was at once a palace and a fortress. Beauty fortified with strength. They brought us into the throne room, and there sat the aged king on his throne. He looked at us for the longest time. And he finally rose, walked down the steps towards us, and he said, "When did that star appear that you've been looking all over my city for?" And I said, 27 months ago, we saw a convergence in the sky that announced his conception. And Melchior added, 18 months ago, we saw the convergence of his star that still shines this very night, that announced his birth. It's taken us 9 months to travel this far, but we are looking for this king. And then King Herod changed. All of a sudden, he smiled. "Ah, my friends, thank you for coming. We did not observe the convergences in the sky, but we Jews are privy to information that you do not have. I spoke recently to my holy men to find out, and in our scriptures, it says that this king of the Jews will be born in Bethlehem, a small town just 5 miles to the south of here." He had changed completely. And then he said, "Go, seek out this child. And when you find him, report back to me so that I may honor him." The hair on the back of my neck stood up. We magi bowed to King Herod and left the palace. The stars were out at night. We rejoined our soldiers, and on camels and horses, we traveled the dusty road south to Bethlehem. The star was brighter than I had ever seen, and we followed this star as it led us out of Jerusalem and into this small town of Bethlehem. It smelled. The town was disgusting. Why would the king of the Jews be here? Maybe his parents got detained. Maybe the royal family had business we didn't know about. It didn't make sense. But as we walked through that dusty, smelly, disgusting town, the star stopped. It just stopped. And it illuminated a single, modest home. Nothing else around it was lit. It was just this small, tiny house. As we stood out there, I said to the other magi, we sent the soldiers outside of the town. Only us magi were there, and I said to the other magi, how do we honor the Messiah of the whole world?" And Caspar said, "We knock." So we did. The door opened a crack, and there was a peasant man on the other side. He had flecks of something in his beard. And I said to him, "We magi have traveled far looking for the one who is born king of the Jews, for we saw his star in the sky and it has led us here. Is this king here?" And the peasant man hesitated for a moment, looking beyond us. And finally he opened the door wider and he said, "Yes, he's here." It smelt worse in the house than it did outside. The other magi rushed in. I stepped back. And I looked at the star. And it only illuminated this house. So I went in. As I went in, I pushed past the other magi. The house was so small, it barely fit us all. And as I pushed past them there, on the other side of them, sat a young Jewish girl. She looked tired, exhausted, nervous, embarrassed, maybe scared. And in between her legs sat a little toddler, babbling a language only he knew. And I said, "Is this him? Is this the one who was born King of the Jews?" And then something incredible happened as I sat there on the floor. This child toddled up to me, pushed away from his mother, came up, stuck out his finger, and then bopped me in the nose. Ow! His father was quick to grab him up. And he said, "Yes. Yes, it is. His name is Jesus. It means Yahweh saves, because he will save his people from their sin." The child pushed away from his father and wobbled back to his mother. And she picked him up and she held him. And he just looked at us, each and every one of us. How do you honor the Messiah? No. How do you worship the Savior of the whole world? I called in for the treasure chest to be brought in, and they brought it in. We had brought some small things to give him, but we emptied it. I told them to give them everything. Empty it. Give him everything. We gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh, the finest of perfumes. Everything that we had for our trip back, we gave to that child. We gave him everything, and it still wasn't enough. It could never be enough. The very heavens bowed down to worship this child, this King, this Christ, this Messiah, this Savior, this Jesus. Us magi sat and watched the child, and eventually he fell asleep in his mother's arms. The soldiers pitched tent outside the city, and the peasant couple, the child's parents, insisted that we stay in their house with them. Most of the magi stayed up in the guest room they had, and I slept out in the courtyard under the stars. In my dreams, I saw the gifts that we presented to the Christ child. And I heard a voice from heaven say, "Gold for the King of Kings, frankincense for his divinity, and myrrh for the sacrifice he will make." And then in my dream, I saw the palace. I saw the aged King Herod sitting on his throne. And before him stood priests and holy men. And the king said, "Where is the one who is prophesied to be born the King of the Jews?" And the scribes and holy men said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, my Lord." And then I saw blood began trickling and pouring down the hands of King Herod. And he said, "Get out! Get out! I am the king of the Jews, not Rome, not my sons, not, and certainly not some miserable little fetus born in that flea-ridden place of Bethlehem. Get out, I am the king." Blood began pouring out his hands. It filled the whole palace. And as my vision of him faded, I heard him say, "Get those magi here." And then a voice from heaven said to me, "Go. Go now. Leave this place at once." And as my sleep faded away, I shouted, "But what about the child?" And as I woke up, I felt a still, small voice speak to me. And it said, "I will take care of my son until it is his time." It was still dark when I woke up, but I woke up the other magi. We gathered our soldiers and we left immediately. We headed south and went the long way around the Dead Sea. And even though we didn't have supplies anymore, Providence brought us back here to Babylon. That child has changed everything. Everything I thought I once knew, I now question. Nothing matters anymore. Not my education, not my relationships. Not even my title as Magus. All that matters is Jesus. All that matters is Jesus, the Messiah. Seek him out. Find him. Worship him. How should you worship Jesus the Messiah? Give him everything. Give him everything. Give him your wealth. Give him your talents. Give him your time. Give him your life. Give him your heart.
That we have, whether costly or meek, because because we believe. Gold for his honor and frankincense for his pleasure and myrrh for the cross he'll suffer. Do you believe? Is this who we've waited for?
'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many graves have become the least holy?
And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart?